It's like a firestorm. The Greeks come out of the horse and it burns, and they look and they see their city falling around them, and they know that everything they fought for and lived for is turning to ashes before their eyes, and it is over. That is the precondition of the birth of Rome, this horrible, utter, irrevocable loss. The most celebrated, historically anyway, book of the Aeneid is Book 4, which chronicles a love affair between Aeneas and Queen Dido of Carthage. This is loaded in lots of ways. Just as Aeneas gets to play Augustus, Dido gets to play Cleopatra. Carthage is in Africa, different part of Africa, what's now Tunisia, just as Egypt is. And in fact, Carthage, as every Roman would have known, came in the two teens, between the years 217 and 215, closer than anybody ever came, till it actually was done, to destroying Rome. The Punic Wars, as they were called, the wars against Carthage, led by Hannibal, marching his elephants over the Alps and almost conquering Rome, was the biggest trauma Rome ever faced. And that's evoked in this moment, too. This staggers me. This is true from what I read, that at the greatest of those battles, the Battle of Cannae, the Romans lost about 50,000. Think of this, 50,000 soldiers. That is about 10,000 less than the United States, vastly bigger loss than the whole Vietnam War. It was the bloodiest battle ever fought until the first Battle of the Somme in World War I. And you know what the Romans did? They raised another legion and kept on fighting. And they'd lost two battles in which together they'd lost 50,000 before that. Order is costly. Africa is dangerous. It's a bad idea for Aeneas to be hanging around with Dido, but he loves her, and what he's got to give up, among other things, most poignantly of all, to fulfill his mission, is love, because duty costs. Order is difficult. Order is difficult and costly and partial, all of that, all of the time, but still, despite all, according to Virgil, worth having. And you know what? I think that the Aeneid is far more effective as a celebration of Augustus and order by presenting the case with open eyes, by presenting all the difficulty and painfulness of what Rome seeks to achieve, and all the partialness of what Rome seeks to achieve, than the poem would be if he never mentioned it at all. That in fact, it's more effective as propaganda by being nuanced, full, and not one-dimensionally celebratory. Order's too important to lie to try to get. Well, on that note, we move from Virgil to a man who is in many ways the antithesis of Virgil and the author of the great Roman anti-epic, and in a sense, deliberately an anti-epic. If the point of Virgil's Aeneid is in this rich and nuanced and partial way, can we have order? Yes, but no, no, but yes. If that is the goal of the Aeneid, the goal of Ovid's Metamorphoses is to controvert that goal. To say, you think that there's progress? You think we can establish order? You think at some remove the gods are in favor of this? Whew! Wow. You want to know what really moves the world? Change. Where are we going? Nowhere. And what's the force that drives the world? Well, let me tell you. It's done at night, often, and between the sheets. Go out in the fields and watch what's going on. What do people really care about? I'll give you a hint. It's not duty. And it's not self-sacrifice. What really makes the world go round? There's a song, I don't speak as Ovid now, even as a playful vision of Ovid, but which suggests what he says, what makes the world go round is love in the sense of eros. And what we live in is a world of change.